And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast.
The show that wonders where its $180 is.
The show that enjoys a nice game of hacky sack from time to time.
It is today brought to you by the letter O.
The show that follows with complete and thorough prophylaxis.
The show that acts as a social lubricant.
The show that welcomes all voices, disembodied or otherwise.
This is going to be the best podcast ever.
This is Rusty. Amber and I are out at the America's Garden Inn in America's.
In the jacuzzi.
Nothing sucks more than listening to somebody go, that's
I
just
like
painful to me. So
it's a very different dynamic, this whole sex with a condom thing, because I can't feel any of the moisture in... And
is that the word we're using?
Well, what else do you want me to use?
Yeah, that's the word, I suppose.
If you stick around long enough, you'll see the abrasiveness begins with the sodomite.
I'm actually terrible when it comes to activism and sort of getting involved with things. Great when it comes to drinking.
She was always screaming, even if they were right next to her.
Too cheap to get my own domain. Back off. I don't care what you have to say about that.
A boob coming out with a full exposed nipple is not as funny as a boob coming out with maybe, you know,
fried
pink
egg.
Fried egg or you know, gold glitter X's or tassels or little hearts or cherries or whatever, you know.
Conferences that you go to with people in a room sitting in chairs and...
Do they have nudity?
No, unfortunately.
Nudity.
Awesome. Your heart's
too rusty. Saves from the
chastening rod. The brief synopsis is about a group of about a dozen or so aborted fetuses who come back to life through stem cell serum, and they join forces with an Eric Rudolph-esque abortion clinic bomber.
It's just that you've mentioned bacon so many times tonight in so many situations where I never thought bacon would come up.
I'm the lucky one that it's kind of followed from house to house. I've had the radios turn on and off. I had a coffee table with a total glass top literally explode in my family.
It's October 31st, and we were going to try to do a live Skype cast for this episode, but Skype kind of doesn't work with the Mac, apparently.
Yeah, so much for that idea. And at least one person was actually trying to participate, so thanks, Nikki, for making an effort, but sorry, Skype sucked.
Yeah, so hopefully at a later date, I don't know if we'll do maybe like an internet radio stream or if we'll find some other VoIP software comparable to Skype or something. I'd like to do some live episodes where we actually have callers and such, and I think that would be a lot of fun, rather than just us talking into a mic for half an hour, but this time you're stuck with us talking into a mic for half an hour.
And come on, there are worse things.
Yeah. So, it's also Halloween tonight.
Yeah, and instead of going out and doing something Halloween-related, we are staying in, doing the podcast. I mean... I have to say, I've never really gotten into Halloween. I know a lot of people get really into it and like carve elaborate pumpkins, which I wish I could carve elaborate pumpkins because they look awesome.
I had a pretty awesome pumpkin once.
Yeah, you did. If you can find the picture of it, we need to put it up because it was awesome.
Basically, it was a cannibal pumpkin. It was a pumpkin that was eating little baby pumpkins.
You have to see it.
Yes, it's the words don't do it justice.
And a lot of people like to make elaborate costumes, and I like to see elaborate costumes, but I'm just not going to put forth the effort to make one myself. I think it all stems from when I was a kid. I was very resentful of Halloween because my birthday is the day before Halloween. So yes, that means my birthday was yesterday. And as a kid, I did not understand that my birthday was not a national holiday. And just regardless of that, I felt like my birthday was upstaged by Halloween. And I would get so pissed off when people would be like, oh, cool, your birthday's the day before Halloween. Are you going to have a Halloween-themed birthday party? No, I'm not going to have a Halloween-themed birthday party because you are coming to my party to celebrate my birthday, not to celebrate Halloween. You can wait till tomorrow to celebrate Halloween.
You had a party last night. It was kind of funny because I think Jen and Tony were the only ones who actually dressed up for it.
They didn't even really dress up, though. They just brought wigs.
But I thought that was kind of funny. They came in late with the boob cake. Do you want to talk a little bit about your Halloween party? Or your...
You didn't even do that on purpose, did you?
Yeah, I did. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think you did.
No, I didn't.
Damn it. That was a total accident. See, that is what I'm talking about. That is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. People immediately jump to Halloween instead of my birthday. And that was... That sucked as a kid. It did,
I'm
you know?
I'm sure it did. I'm sorry.
But last year, we had a party that was my birthday party, a Halloween party, and a podcast party. So that just shows that I have grown and matured. Now that I'm an adult, I'm okay.
That was actually a pretty fun party.
And it was a very fun party.
There's still a photo of us on MySpace and Facebook where I'm dressed up as a priest and you're dressed
up as a
nun.
There's a lot of photos of that.
I had tequila and there was other debauchery. I think I
filleted your cross.
Yeah, I was a priest who was wheeling a keg around.
We'll link to those. But anyway, yeah. The party last night, we didn't take any pictures except of the boob cake, which was awesome. So thanks, Jen and Tony, for making that.
Post a boob cake photo.
Yes. It was a fun party. A lot of people came, and we had Boston Market catering. And
we still have a shit ton of that in the fridge.
Hey, we had it for lunch and dinner today, so I'm fine with that. So thanks to everybody who came. And I still feel weird whenever I'm the center of attention. So, like, people were watching me open cards and gifts and stuff, and I just get weird, and I just don't know what to say, but thank you to everybody, because, you know, you didn't have to bring gifts or anything, but it was very nice, and I really appreciate it, and Jen gave me a really cute little bird thing. And
yeah, I think Griffdrift was the one who made the comment. He said, leave it to a public defender to give a gift that you can hide drugs in. It's a little bird that has just, like, a little kind of tiny space. It looks perfect for crack rocks.
That's not what I'm going to put in it.
Yeah, but we don't smoke crack because that would be expensive.
And I also did a little pole dancing after a lot of people had left.
Yeah.
I know that probably some people were wishing I would get over it and just get on the pole earlier, but in my defense, first of all, I kind of had a little stomach ache from eating too much Boston Market. And then I was just nervous. There were a lot of people there. There were bright lights and, you know.
Well, you did great. The people who were left when you finally did get up on the pole, they all were very impressed. I heard many oohs and ahs and gasps. And they were all very impressed because you did very well.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You got something else for your birthday. What did you get for your birthday?
I got a new iPod.
Yes.
From that guy.
From this fella over here, speaking into the other end of the microphone.
And
we're sharing a microphone.
It was an excellent present because my former iPod was, I don't know, almost 4 years old. Fucked up, you know, had been dropped several times, sitting on the charge. And this one actually works, and it's in color, and it has long battery life, and it has sound correction. So now I have to go into iTunes and set everything back to zero where I had adjusted the sound because the iPod didn't have it. Now it actually does.
It has that neato little cover flow thing.
Yeah, where the cover art, like,
you know. Of course, you haven't, like, synced up most of the album art with the album.
I have a fair amount.
It's mostly, like, a bunch of question marks going by.
But the ones that it does have, the ones that it does show, it looks really cool.
Yeah. It is funny, though, because there'll be one that has it in the middle of, like, 20 question marks, and then you kind of anticipate it coming.
Now,
it's like, oh, here comes a cover.
What that means is you can tell, like, which were the songs that I've had for a while and which are the songs that I've gotten in, like, the last year and a half or so, because that's really when I started actually buying music. So all the songs that have album art are ones that, like, I bought on iTunes or something like that. And all the other ones are ones that I got, you know, before that when I was just using LimeWire.
Yeah. Okay.
So, also about my birthday, sort of, but we'll veer off of that a little, is Facebook makes birthdays interesting in a new way. A lot of people wrote on my wall yesterday wishing me happy birthday, and a lot of people gave me these little virtual gifts, little, like, virtual pieces of cake and stuff. And even at the top of my home, like, the page when you just log into Facebook, right at the top there, it said happy birthday from everyone at Facebook.
Thanks, Facebook.
Thanks, Facebook. It's so personal.
That's great.
But, so Facebook has these little virtual gifts, and they're $1 a piece. And when I first joined Facebook, I was kind of like, what is this? Why would anybody spend $1 on a little icon?
Yeah.
Basically. But it's actually kind of cool.
So they spent like an actual physical dollar on this.
And I have actually spent a few dollars on gifts, sending gifts to people. I sent one to Melanie today because it was an evil eye. And you know how she likes to put evil eyes in her designs.
Yeah.
And I've sent it to her, and, you know, it shows up on their profile with your comment. And I said, you know, I saw this and thought of you. And she wrote back, and she was like, that's so cool. I've thought of virtual gifts as something that could be really neat for a long time. Thank you. And she was really excited. And I just...
Well, that's good.
Facebook is so much better
than MySpace.
Than MySpace, or really anything else that I use that's that kind of thing. I mean, I guess you can only really compare it to MySpace. You can't really compare it to LinkedIn, but I really hate LinkedIn.
Yeah. Speaking of LinkedIn, LinkedIn is one of the networks that's affiliated with this new Google Open Social. Have you heard anything about this new Google Open Social?
I think I saw somebody talk about it on Twitter, but I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Actually, no. You know where I saw it? Facebook. I saw in
that's
the,
some funny shit.
In the mini feed on my homepage, somebody...
Probably Tiffany Brown.
Tiffany or like that Cody guy was like... was one of them. It was like, you know, so-and-so has posted one link on Delicious, and it was about the Open Social, but I saw it and I didn't read it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sort of scared of Google having all my data. They already have all my email.
So what is the Open Social thing?
It's basically an API that, as I understand it, and somebody correct me if I'm not accurate about this because I haven't read into it closely, my understanding of it is that it ties together data from a whole bunch of disparate sites. It's like a back end for very basic information that can be sent back and forth from site to site. It's going to be interesting to see the kind of applications that come from
like
it.
How would you use that?
It's a little bit, well, like you have several different social networks like LinkedIn and Ning, I think it's called, and I think about a dozen others that already have signed on and already are opening or offering their data to go into this API where it can then be used in other websites. So like stuff from LinkedIn might be able to go into another network, and then stuff from that network might be able to go back into LinkedIn. That's my understanding of it, and you know,
so
maybe I'm wrong.
Like
but
if you have a LinkedIn account, if you, so now with the Open Social, like if you sign up for a LinkedIn account, then do you automatically have an account on all
No,
the
it's not like OpenID. I think it's that's more like a universal ID. Although I think it could be like that, but I don't think it's about IDs necessarily. I think it's about being more like a data transport protocol where you can just send data back and forth. Like you would have a separate Ning profile and a separate Facebook profile, but you might be able, or not Facebook, but separate LinkedIn profile. And you might be able to send data back and forth between those two networks. That's my understanding of it anyway. I mean, I just read about this thing today, and I could be a completely ignorant ass, and I could be completely wrong. So just don't listen to me because I just spout off bullshit at the mouth.
Well, somebody can leave a comment or call us with a voicemail if they know more than we do.
Yeah. And many do.
Okay.
What the hell is our voicemail number anyway? We never read this in the middle of the podcast. You talk about something, I'm going to look up our voicemail.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll talk briefly about my pole dancing graduation because I was talking earlier about how I did a little pole dancing at my birthday party. Well, my graduation from level 5, which is the highest level, was this past Monday, so 2 days ago. I got my black and pink garter, so I'm officially a black garter in pole dancing. And from here on out, I will just be taking level, it's called level 5-6, and it's just a level where you keep, you can stay as long as you want, and you keep learning harder stuff and practicing and all that. And it's very exciting to me. It was exactly a year ago that I graduated from level 1, and so look how far I've come in a year. And I promise I'm going to go to amateur night eventually. I was in the student showcase on October 14th, and there were about 50 people in the audience, and there were 7 of us in the show, mm-hmm. and that was very exciting.
I got to go to that.
That was my first time performing in front of a group like that.
And she totally owned it. So, really, there was probably one dancer there. Well, there's no probably. There's one dancer there who was probably doing more acrobatic stuff than Amber. But there was nobody there who was more energetic.
And it's not a competition, so I don't want to be like that.
Well, you know, people in the audience sit there and view it that way, though. And I think you had more energy.
Okay, but I really don't want to see it as a competition. Okay. Because it's energy, in that case, might mean I was dancing fast, which is really hard to do. And I couldn't have done it for much longer than I did.
Yeah.
But I do think I did very well. And it gave me more confidence.
Very good.
And eventually I'll do an amateur night and announce it and people can come and clap.
Hmm. And I'm sure they will. People were clapping last night. They did that and I didn't even prompt them to. That was awesome. All right. So voicemail. I wish you people would call and leave us voicemails. The phone number is 678-389-9441. So, yeah, call, leave us voicemail. Moving along.
In an earlier talkie, we had mentioned that we found out about another sex club in Atlanta called Little Wings, which we still maintain has a bad name.
Yeah, it's a terrible
name. I don't know where they got that, but it's no good. This club used to be Velvet Heaven, which, as it turns out, is the club that I went to about 6 years ago. And so we finally went to it this past weekend. Last Friday, we were going to go to the Club Too Risqué reopening party because it was supposed to be reopening on the 26th of October, but I'm on their mailing list, and they never sent anything out. They never updated their website. I emailed them and didn't hear back. So we couldn't go because we didn't know if it was happening, and if it was happening, we didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
So we didn't go to that. But we did go to Little Wings. What were your impressions?
I think it was a pretty nice space. I would rate it, out of everything we've been to, probably second behind Trapeze overall. I think they both have their pluses and minuses. The pluses of Trapeze, I like the way it's kind of the casual club up front, and then you go back and it's like, you know, you're walking on the set of Caligula. Now, you know, you have, it's like they have a separate naked section and a separate clothes section. And I think that since everything is, there's not really like a separate naked section at
there's just that room.
There's a couple of mattress rooms. I saw a couple of those, but that's about it, really.
Yeah, it was just that. Yeah, just that room upstairs had the sign that said you must be naked to be in this room.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It didn't feel like a section. It was like a room.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that, I guess, you know, the clientele there. There were actual people. You know, there were a pretty good number of couples there. It wasn't like, what was that other place, Venus, that we went to? Where
what a disaster.
Like the creepy, lecherous guy parade.
That's all it was.
That's
there,
all
practically.
It was. A bunch of creepy fucking guys and one couple fucking, yeah, basically. But this one, Little Wing, there were couples there. And, you know, there were always people dancing on the stage. They were having fun.
I danced on the stage because they had two poles.
They had two stripper poles there, and Amber did some tricks, some spins and stuff on there, and they all were very good, and I got a big kick out of watching them. And what else?
Well, we were concerned about Little Wings because we saw that they let in single men every night. And that's a big thing that can really affect the feel of a place. And so we were concerned about that. As it turned out, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know if they just do a better job of, you know, moderating which single guys get let in. But I mean, honestly, the single guys that were in there were still the kind of creepy, weird, wandering type. But there weren't, I guess there weren't so many that it hit a tipping point where it influenced the whole feel.
Yeah. We talked about this earlier, not just in the podcast, but outside the podcast. And there's something about single guys walking around that makes them instantly recognizable. There's that sort of wandering, oh, I'm just here hanging out kind of look, but they look very uptight and nervous. And
that casual kinda strolling, but it's not really casual. It's, I'm trying really hard to look casual.
Yeah, I'm trying hard to look casual, and I don't know.
And they're just the constant walking around.
Yeah.
What do they think is going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's they a little just obnoxious.
It's a little obnoxious. They kind of ruin it for everyone else.
But fortunately, there weren't so many of those that the place was overrun.
Yeah, there were. I mean, I think we counted about five or six out of a crowd of, what do you think was
there? Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say because the way the place was set up.
I mean, it could have been 50 or it could have been 250. I couldn't even really tell.
I think it was more than 50, but
I
don't know.
It was just hard.
And I think I actually disagree about the thing with trapeze, with the separate naked area versus the clothed mm-hmm. area. I actually kind of don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the one hand, I do like that there's a naked area where it's mandatory that mm-hmm. you have to be naked, or like in lingerie or whatever, because, you know, then it's like you can't just be a creepy, lecherous guy walking around fully clothed. And also, they don't let single guys in that area at trapeze, which is good. But, or maybe they do in part of it, but
there's a couples room where only couples can go in. It's like one of those sets of mattresses.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But
they had to sign up. That's where we saw a flopping dong guy on the couch.
But I remember they had a sign up that was like, you know, any single guy who like has any complaint, you'll be thrown out or something like that. But I don't know. So I kind of like the mandatory naked area mm-hmm. from that perspective, because it's like you can't just look without showing.
Yeah.
But also I feel like it kind of puts up an arbitrary line between like, okay, here's where you can fuck and here's where you can't. And it's like you should just be able to do whatever you want anywhere.
I think that's a fair point. Because I definitely think you don't see very much action in the front of trapeze. But, you know, you do see, like, blowjobs on the dance floor and stuff occasionally.
Well, we saw a blowjob on the dance floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as if it's totally restricted, but it does sort of create that arbitrary barrier that says you need to go in the back and have sex.
Which is, I think that's annoying, because I think that just kind of reinforces, you know, other social mores. As much as you can say that they're reinforced at a sex club, but I really think it does. But on the other hand, it can be good, because then, you know, you've been in the back fucking and God knows what else, and you're hot and sweaty and you want to come out. You can come back out to the front. I mean, you can be naked in the front.
Yeah.
And people do, especially as the night wears on, come out to the front and sit around just like on
their towels and
drink and, you know, so that's good.
I mean, I can see it both ways. I happen to like that part about trapeze, and I can definitely understand your concerns about it, but specifically because of that last thing you mentioned, I think it's good to have areas. I think it's good to sort of say, well, this is the fucking area and this is the club hanging out area,
the decompression area.
I think part of that might be because I've gotten tired of living in lofted space, and I'm starting to I'm starting to appreciate compartmentalizing some of my activity areas more. And so, it's just a personal preference. I'm not saying one is right or wrong, but I've come to appreciate rooms, which I had lost my appreciation for rooms, and it's why I wanted to live in lofts for a while, because I liked the idea of big open spaces, but now I like rooms again.
Well, the place we're in now has the best of both.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's still nice, open, wrapping around. I wouldn't want to go to the other extreme of having, like, everything being totally decentralized, like at my parents' house, yeah. Where it's just, it sucks. Not to rag on their house, but well, I don't like the layout. They don't like the layout.
You don't
have
to like it.
They wouldn't be offended by me saying that because they don't like the layout of it either now.
So one other thing about the sex clubs, now that we've talked about your parents' house, the other place where Trapeze definitely wins is the food.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because,
no contest.
Yeah, I mean, Venus and Little Wings both had just like, you know, here's a cookie and cheese tray, just thoughtlessly thrown out here.
The
like
cookies,
somebody ran to Publix.
Yeah, I mean, the veggies and stuff look that way at, where the hell did we go, Little Wing. Mm. I think the cookies look okay. I didn't have any, but they looked okay.
But
anyway,
Trapeze has this full buffet, which is
they
really
have cooks there.
It's really
stuff.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good.
And so it definitely wins for that. And I really think, I mean, for what you pay to go to those places, you should have a really nice buffet like that,
yeah.
You know?
You should have something.
So it wins for that. I do think that the layout of Little Wings, even though in some ways it was annoying, in other ways I think it was good because it made it not seem so crowded and packed and claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Overall, you know, we'll probably go back again on another night to see, you know,
get some contrast.
Yeah, get some contrast. It was a Halloween party night when we went. And we met the owner, and he was very nice. The people working there seemed
That's
nice.
That's one thing is, they were all very
They're
nice.
Personable.
We came in, they were personable. They seemed just like normal people. They
yeah.
weren't creepy or weird.
The people at Trapeze are nice, but they're a little aloof.
Yeah.
The people at Venus were assholes.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, do you have anything else on sex clubs?
Nope. I think that's it.
Well, speaking of group sex, we sort of were. not really, but I mean, you know, sex clubs, some people have group sex there. We have a question that we've been sort of tossing around in our heads.
We'd actually meant to throw this out on the live podcast, but since we don't have a live podcast, we're just going to have to rely on comments, unfortunately.
What is the ceiling on disproportionate ratios before the fantasy just becomes ridiculous?
Yeah. By disproportionate ratios, we mean what you'd, I guess, typically refer to as a gangbang. Like, but not exactly. You know, if you have a woman with X number of guys, or if you have a guy with X number of women, or even that matter, you know, if you're gay, you know, man with X number of men, or however else you're trying to
be disproportionate.
Point being that you have like
there's one of you
and X number of people, like, because there seriously become there comes a threshold where it's just too exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do with 10 people?
And where your attention is so divided that you're not really getting much out of each person. And obviously, this is an arbitrary thing, and that number is going to be different for different people. But I don't know. I mean, I think you get much past, like, 5 to 1.
Yeah.
And it starts getting a little ridiculous.
I think 5 to 1 is pretty much it. I mean, in some cases, I mean, maybe I could allow for 6, but even 6 is just, I mean,
and obviously that number is arbitrary, depends on what you're doing. I mean, I don't know, but at a certain point it's like I can't even like imagine having to try to deal with 5 pussies, you know what I mean? I mean,
what
it's
are you gonna
like,
do
what
with
are you
them?
Gonna do with them?
So what do you people think?
Yeah,
we want to hear what you think the ceiling is on that.
Yeah. So that was a question we wanted to throw out there.
And I am really interested in hearing people's answers.
And I wonder if women will answer it differently than men. I mean,
I don't think some
you know,
women
I mean,
will. I mean, I don't think it's, I think everybody's going to answer
kind of
it.
A stupid assumption, but like, I don't know. Is there a difference between, like, too many dicks and too many pussies?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
here's the thing.
If you get fucked, like, so many times in a row, you're going to get sore at a certain point.
Here's the thing, though. Like, you can only stick your dick in one pussy at a time. But, you know, women can, you know, they can have all sorts of holes filled up.
That's true. But, like,
the other... And so I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe it's more like, you know, a woman could theoretically deal with three at a time, whereas a man, you know, mouth, dick, that's pretty much it.
That's true. But, I mean, and that is a good point. So it's sort of like, what are you doing? Like, are you multitasking or are you parallel or are you serial?
Yeah. So
with the group sex, because it's like, if you're like, okay, I'm going to sit here and there's like six guys and they're each going to come in turn and fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, because after getting fucked by six guys right in a row, you're going to be sore. And by the sixth guy, it's probably going to be a little uncomfortable.
But if you're multitasking, you got one in the mouth, one in the pussy, maybe even one in the ass, if that's your thing.
That's a big day.
That is a big day. But, you know, you're dealing with three at a time there. And so, you know, if you're into that, I think your threshold for that number goes a little higher.
That's true.
And I think that for men, and why I would theorize that it's at least possible that that threshold's a little lower. I mean, what am I going to do with five pussies, really? I mean, I'm going to have one in my mouth, one on my dick. And you get beyond that.
That sounds silly.
I could use my hands, but damn, you know? I mean, that starts to get really ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's the question that I think we wanted to throw out there.
Moving on to the next thing on our list, which is the Georgia Politics Podcast.
Because the two are totally related.
Yeah. No, we just wanted to talk about it real quick. I mean, I just especially wanted to say that as someone who never participates in these podcasts, but almost always sits and listens to them being recorded, the one that we recorded this past weekend at Manuals, I really think was the best one
that
we've done ever, because there was so much energy. There were so many, you know, really good, relevant topics discussed, not a lot of, you know, chit-chat, meaningless talk. Not that there really ever is, but it just seemed like this time they packed in more like meaty topics into a small amount of time.
Yeah.
And I think being out somewhere and doing it kind of contributed to the energy level, because people had to talk a little louder. And so we're kind of toying with where we're going to record them on
it's
a regular
ultimately
basis.
Up to Joseph, of
It's
course,
up to Joseph.
It is his show.
So we don't know. So we can't say, you know, where we're going to record them, because we don't know. But I had a lot of fun listening to it.
Yeah, I did too. And, you know, I think we were all a little worried that the sound at Manuals wouldn't work out because the crowd was really loud there. But the recorder went through it like a champ, and you can actually hear the voices really. It actually turned out really well.
Yeah.
So
that's all we've got. All after all that stuff.
I don't even know how long we've been talking.
But we have two announcements. The first one is an upcoming event. November 13th, the Atlanta Social Media Mixer. The last that I saw, the location was still to be determined. And there's like an invitation or an event for it on Facebook. That's where I saw it. I think Dave sent it to me. I don't know who all's going to be there, but I sent it to a bunch of people. So if you're on Facebook, search for Atlanta Social Media Mixer and see if there's any more information. The other announcement is November 23rd is the Atlanta Photography Exhibit. And I have two photos in the show.
Is that Frank Lazaro's?
It's Frank Lazaro's thing. We originally interviewed him about a year and a half ago when he did the first, what was called Atlanta Urban Photography Exhibit.
Now it's just photography.
And yeah, he's done a few of them since then. And this one is just called Atlanta Photography Exhibit, because for this particular show, the only rule is that the photos have to be black and white, and they can't be of
what was it like?
Dogs, kittens, or insects on flowers or something like that.
That's nice.
So, yeah, so it's at the Granite Room on Peters Street, I think is where it is. So,
I think so.
So check it out.
All right, so I guess the only thing left is, again, just call our voicemail, 678-389-9441. We really hope, actually, to do a live show sometime soon. We had intended to do this one that way, but Skypecast did not work out for us. So if you have suggestions, please, again, call us, call our voicemail, and leave them for us, 678-389-9441. I don't know what else we might try. You know, maybe we'll, like, buy an internet radio stream, or maybe we'll try some other VoIP sort of software dealio.
Okay, well, we'll see y'all later.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.